Hi, I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, a discussion forum to share innovative and relevant thoughts, research, and ideas on education today and to explore ways to help prepare students to thrive. Welcome to this episode of Education Conversations, Navigating School Choice, an Overview. In recent years, there has been steady expansion in school choice across the nation and certainly right here in Florida. And so today's discussion, we're going to explore how this expansion is playing out in Sarasota County schools and how we can better understand what school choice is and all the options that are available to families. And so we're going to dive into that with a wonderful guest that we have with us so that we can better understand how families can best access the opportunities to meet their children's unique needs. To provide this overview and discuss how to navigate school choice, I'm really happy to be joined today with Millie Wheeler. She is the supervisor of the Office of School Choice for Sarasota County Schools, and also that includes student assignments. Millie has extensive experience in counseling and mental health, and before moving into leadership roles with the district, she served as a school counselor at Booker High School. Today, she leads a team dedicated to helping students and families navigate the educational opportunities available to them through school choice. So, Millie, welcome to Education Conversations. Super excited to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
As Millie and I were preparing for this, we said, you know, we want to continue to keep an ear and an eye as we navigate this conversation to really enable and equip families understanding how all of this works, because there are so many options available. Millie, you serve as the supervisor of the Office of School Choice and Student Assignment. Can you provide a brief history of school choice here in Sarasota County, and how long has the district offered it?
Sure. School choice actually kicked off in the state of Florida in the 90s and has really just expanded and grown in the last 20 plus years. And Sarasota County was one of the early adopters. We have had charter schools in our community since the 90s. And that is, you know, they've certainly grown throughout the state since then. But we have some of the oldest and we're some of the earliest. So it's been an option for a long time. I think just what those options look like have really morphed throughout the years.
I think probably the most common phrase that we often talk about is just school choice. Mm-hmm. And then that seems to be like the umbrella for everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So help us understand maybe the Florida statute definition, and then how does your office operate all the various offerings that school choice provides?
Right. That's a great question. So I would agree, school choice is really a large umbrella that encompasses so many different opportunities for families. The first statute that really governs most of what we do is the controlled open enrollment statute. And so that's what most families, I think of when they think of school choice. It's what we refer to as the school choice lottery that permits any resident in the state of Florida to apply for a school with capacity and go into a pool and basically be randomized to see if you get a seat at a school of choice in the state. And then beyond that, we have so many other options. I mean, the state has recently expanded scholarship options for families. Those have been around for a long time, but they do continue to grow. There are charter schools that are considered part of that school choice umbrella. Virtual school is another one that sometimes gets forgotten about. Homeschool is a growing field, I think, across the nation, but certainly in the state of Florida. So there are really so many different quote-unquote school choice options for families beyond what people think of as the lottery.
Yeah, that's a great definition. And I think a lot of people are, even today, surprised to know about, as you mentioned before, if there's a capacity that families can choose a school even across county lines. And so you may be in Sarasota County and you want to go to the Monroe County down in the Keys.
Correct.
You could do that. Perhaps, you know, it might be a long commute for you, but you could potentially do that. So I think that's often an aha. Do you find that is the first place families maybe start when they're looking at school choice?
It is. And oftentimes it's what we encourage families, where we encourage them to start is with the school choice lottery. When you look at the timeline, it's sort of the first one, one of the first ones to come up as well. And oftentimes, especially if, depending on the program that they're looking for, their school they're looking for, that might be their best avenue at getting access to some of our more sought after or our schools with very low capacity, you know, that they're full from the neighborhood and they only have limited seats open. So we do generally have parents start there, but there are, like I said, so many other options. Another great option that we have so many schools that offer phenomenal magnet programs, and that's another option for choice that our families can access. That lottery is just one of many.
Right. And so going back to that statute of controlled open enrollment, if there is open seats available that is outside of what the neighborhood zoning would permit, then the parents can enter into a lottery. And then a randomized choice could come back to them, allowing them the opportunity for that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Correct. That's great. I just want to make sure we're all following and tracking, because school choice definitely has expanded through the years. And as we mentioned, it is an umbrella of so many different things. So as you have been serving as the supervisor, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen regarding school choice and the family's interest in it? What's happening just from your purview?
Well, I think the biggest change has been recent statutory updates. Last year, I think most people somewhere in the news saw the passing of what was touted as universal school choice and Florida's expansion of school choice options. And that really changed not only the work that we do, but changed opportunities for families, and it changed families' access to information about it. It really put it in the forefront of so many news outlets and media outlets, and it was really just everywhere. So I think it expanded the knowledge that it was even an option for families to access. So the options have expanded, and I think we have more people interested in it and asking questions about it, because they you know, some people that maybe weren't aware that those options existed prior are now, you know, aware.
That's wonderful. So how many families access school choice? And practically speaking, how would a family today interested in exploring what choices are available to their child, how would you recommend that they get started?
Yeah, so I think how many families access really depends on how you define it, because it is that umbrella term. But when you look at just, again, that traditional lottery, we receive approximately 2,000 or so applications annually for that lottery. And the way to access that, or really any of the school choice options, the best place to start is with the Sarasota County Schools website. So families visit sarasotacountyschools.net. They can type in the search box school choice, and it'll take you right to our section of the webpage. And there is a ton of information on there. The one thing that I do always tell families is that it is always changing. One, statutes update, capacities change at schools. So it's something that you don't want to just kind of visit once and never go back to. As the windows change and applications open and close and capacities at schools open, you know, may open or change, that information is constantly being updated. But that is where we post all of the timelines, all of the applications, what schools are available. It is all there on the Sarasota County Schools website.
So that's great. So their first point of entry should be going to your website, looking at all the available resources, continuing to visit that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is the window of time for that traditional controlled open enrollment? When does that time period happen?
Typically in Sarasota County Schools, that window is open in the month of February. So, and it doesn't matter what time in that month families apply. I know that's always a big concern. They think they have to get the first application in, but they're not time stamped. Because it is a lottery, we too take all that whole month for an application collection period, and they all go into that lottery at the same time.
That's great. And then are there applications for any of the magnet programs? If someone wanted to go to Booker VPA or Riverview's IB program, would they follow that same process?
So currently our magnet programs are mostly managed by the individual schools. For the most part, they generally open in January, and then they'll be open somewhere through the spring, oftentimes even through May. at the individual schools, but every school has a little bit of a different timeline. So if you are interested in the magnet programs, definitely, you know, reach out individually to that school. All of the magnet programs have that information posted on the individual schools' websites. And so that's the best place to access that information because the requirements are all slightly different. For example, if you did want to apply for like a Booker VPA, there are also auditions and tryouts and things that, you know, you want to make sure that you understand those timelines and requirements.
That's great. And again, just knowing that education sits in the world of acronyms, my apologies for saying VPA.
Yes.
I think I kicked that off. So visual performing arts.
Thank you.
No, that was definitely on me. But I think one of the ahas many families may not also have, as we've seen this expansion of school choice, are all the choices that actually exist already within Sarasota County Schools. And so can you just maybe speak about some of the different types of magnet schools and programs that are available so that just to give the listeners here a flavor of what's available right now?
Sure. So within our magnet programs, we do have several. We have several like high performing and academic magnets. And so those range from our International Baccalaureate or IB to our ACE or our Advanced International, that's the Cambridge Education mm-hmm. Program. Additionally, we have a couple of different visual and performing arts programs. We have Booker in North County, and we have Northport High in South County. Booker Middle also offers a VPA program. And then there are a few other very specialized. Sarasota High has a circus arts program, which is unique to Sarasota, and what a unique and individually Sarasota thing to have. And they obviously work very closely with the local arts community in that program. They also have a MAST, which is a science program, science and technology program. There's a marine science. So there is a whole host. There's almost something for everybody in the magnet programs that are really geared and targeted towards these specific and unique interests that our students may have.
I think that's so great. And I do agree that there's just so many choices out there already. So what are some of the most important considerations when students and families are thinking about school choice?
So a couple things that we always encourage parents to do is first, I think really talking to your student. I think it's so easy as parents. We want to make the best decisions for our children. And sometimes we forget that we need to be making them with our children. And so having those conversations with our students about what it is that they envision that their middle school or high school is going to look like, and what do they want to get out of it beyond just my friend is going to this school. You know, those are really sometimes tough, but important conversations to have with our kids. And additionally, the internet, it can be a wonderful thing, but sometimes it can also be misleading. So we always encourage our families to make sure you're considering the source when you are looking up the information. You know, the closer you can get to those primary sources, the better. Unfortunately, as we grow and the internet grows, sometimes there's misinformation out there. And that's tough for families, but we encourage families to go directly to the school's websites. The DOE has a great portal where you can go in and see data about each individual school. Those primary sources are some of the best places you can get information that you know is going to be accurate and relevant to your school search.
Great tips. I think the Florida Department of Education's website is also, that's a great reference. I'm glad you brought that up. So what about a child who has special needs and their family's just looking for how that child can be best supported? Do they start with SarasotaCountySchools.net website? Would they navigate this any differently?
That is a great question, and we get that call a lot. And what we always tell families is that, you know, that's a tough call for us to take. Our office can speak about generic information, but students with special needs, you know, they all have an individual education plan that's individualized to that student and that need. So we typically refer parents that the first step to do is to start with their districted or zoned school, especially if they're new to the area and they're not sure where the best fit is going to be. If they start at that zoned school, the school can request the records, get a copy of the student's IEP, review it, and the specialist or the liaison at that school will be that person that can make great recommendations to the family. And if the family is looking for options beyond traditional public schools, then some of that is going to fall on them to start doing their research. So if they want to utilize a scholarship option for a private school, the Florida Department of Education does have a list of private schools in the area in which scholarships they accept. So we encourage families to start there, but then they're going to have to go and sort of research the private schools and those other options on their own.
Right. And I do think the investigative and exploratory process is so critical. So your first point of just starting with your zone school is certainly really very good advice. So what are some of the limiting factors in school choice here in Sarasota County? And are there ways for families to overcome any of the limitations? Are there barriers that still exist?
The biggest one is sort of obvious, but also probably the hardest to overcome is just capacity. So when you look at some of our schools in the area, some are at a higher enrollment rate than others. And that's mostly based on location. So we have areas of town that are more saturated and maybe more popular than others. And sometimes if those areas contain a highly sought after school, it's just challenging to get into because of the number of seats that are or are not available. And at some point that just becomes a safety concern. You know, we can't just put all the students in one school as much as, you know, families might want to go there. That's probably the biggest barrier, but also the toughest to overcome because space is space. We're seeing that the most right now at our high schools. Our high schools are almost all at or over capacity currently.
Right. And I think we also are building some schools too.
Correct.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. South County for sure. Mm-hmm. And East,
yep.
Out East.
Those are our next two coming up. Yes, we have a K-8 out East, and then there's one next on board, I believe, down in Welland Park.
Right. So are families able to tour schools? Can they go just walk up and then maybe get a tour so they can maybe visit into a classroom? What offerings are available through that venue?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I would say all schools offer something, but again, that's going to change depending on the school. At the high schools, you know, they start doing spin nights or student and parent information nights where there is that opportunity to go to the school. There's a little presentation and then you can usually do some tours. Most of our magnet programs usually offer information nights or something similar as well. And then some of them do schedule tours. Like we have a magnet school that's purely magnet, SPHS or Suncoast Polytechnical High School, and they schedule regular informational nights that include tours. So if families were interested in that, then they would want to start by going to their website and seeing when those were offered and signing up for one. So all schools offer something. It's just a little bit different on what that looks like.
Yeah. And I think what I'm hearing you say, Millie, is that each school really is very unique, as well as each child is very unique. And so doing the front end, your own research and investigative process and getting as much information at the school level could maybe help open up and shed some light. And so I know the school district probably can't point people to different schools, but I know I can say from our vantage point, there are some outstanding, for instance, Title I schools, outstanding.
Absolutely.
Some families may be like, no, I don't want that. And I'm just using this as an anecdotal, but I would encourage from our vantage point and from what we've seen is, hey, you know what? It might be worth a hot minute to just go visit that school, and you could be pleasantly surprised because then you can determine if the alignment of the school strengths match what your students' interests are.
Absolutely. We have that conversation with parents quite frequently about, you know, just exploring all of your options and not sort of just pigeonholing into one idea.
Right. I think that's very fair. So what are some common misconceptions about school choice?
I think the biggest misconception is the ideal of universal school choice. I think that sometimes it can just be misleading because when you do drill down into the statute, it truly is controlled open enrollment. And it has to be that way because of the capacity. So that's tough sometimes for parents to sort of understand how it really works and that there are some limitations to it.
Yeah. And I think the school choice is, as you mentioned, it's been around for a while. This is nothing new. We are just continuing to see the expansion. And as that iteration, if you will, continues, there's always going to be growing pains and things like that that happen. But keep your hands on the wheel, you know, listeners, and just continue to do your own research. I think that's the one overriding message I'm at least hearing today. So one last question for you, and this is more on the practical side of school choice, is Where does a family turn if they're looking into the scholarship options that are available today? Do they do that to you? I think you mentioned the DOE website, or do they navigate an outside service? I know we've had Doug Tuthill from Step Up for Students on one of our podcasts. I know that's one of the avenues, but where would you say is the best first place to go?
I would say that the best place to start would be with the Department of Education website. And the reason for that is currently as it exists, there are several different scholarship opportunities. I think they get lumped into one bucket, but they all kind of have their own unique characteristics. And there are a couple of different, what the state refers to as scholarship funding organizations or SFOs, Step Up being probably the largest and most known, but not the only SFO out there that are managing these scholarship options for families. So when you start with the DOE, they do have a list of the different scholarship options and the scholarship funding organizations that are managing them. So that's a great jumping off point. And then in addition to that, once you get to the SFO's websites, they have handbooks and information on the opportunities and the process. But our office is also more than willing to have conversations with families and do our best in sort of holding their hands and helping them navigate that process. Oftentimes, we don't always have all of the answers, but we can usually at least point them in the right direction to sort of get the process started.
That's terrific. And would you recommend that families, if they needed to reach out to you, would they do that, you know, through the website, email, phone, or in person?
We have all options. I always say that I think the easiest is just to start with a phone call or an email. We do have an office area at the Landings, and we do receive the public. So if somebody does want to make an appointment or stop by, we do have a small but mighty team that is around and willing to help.
That's great. You do have a mighty team, that's for sure. So I really do appreciate your insights. I think this has been really helpful to at least get a baseline understanding of, because school choice, there's so many different options, and you were very clear on, again, the definition of controlled open enrollment, the limitations that capacity has on it, and certainly the resources that are available for families to search out those options. So again, look at the school district's website, sarasotacountyschools.net, and then certainly the Florida Department of Education had a lot of information. So I'm just curious, though, I want to get to round out this whole conversation and what brought you into education, because I think you have a wonderful background as well. And I understand you were involved with Teach for America, and this experience really changed your trajectory from classroom teaching to mental health counseling. And so can you tell me a little bit about that and how this is actually touching the work that you're doing today?
So Teach for America actually changed my entire sort of life goal trajectory. It was not my plan to become an educator. I was originally on a pathway that taking me somewhere else and looking for a service or a gap year opportunity. I really wanted an opportunity to be able to serve and give back. And I stumbled upon Teach for America and really my eyes were opened into the opportunities that education gives us to serve our community. I think that being a product of Sarasota County Schools is a blessing of mine that I realized later in life, having the opportunity to grow up in this community and be a part of our school district really afforded me opportunities that I didn't realize weren't available to all children. And so that really opened my eyes and made me passionate about the world of education. And it was just something that I have now committed my life to. And as a classroom teacher in Teach for America, I realized that what made me a good teacher was less about being the best lesson plan developer or creating the most targeted interventions, but I was really good at building relationships. And so after I finished my commitment with Teach for America, I decided to go back to grad school for counseling, school counseling, and mental health counseling to really build upon that skill set and being able to serve students.
That's a real gift. And knowing that you're not in the classroom now, but you're still supporting students and really giving them great direction and guidance, particularly to the families that they care so deeply. They just want the best for their kids. What inspires you and your team as you are working through all of this?
Yeah, I think it's just that mission of helping families and helping them navigate some of the confusion and also we get a lot of families that are that feel lost for one reason or another. And I also have another school counselor on my team, and we really all approach it from sort of this counseling lens of listening to the families, listening to what they want, what are the needs of the student, and trying to help them find an option that will that is one, an option, and two, that will fit for the families. And if that doesn't work, you know, going back to the drawing board. But it's also about teaching parents and students resiliency and problem solving skills. And sometimes that's just all they need. You know, sometimes they just want to come in and talk about what's going on, and we can help connect them with the resources at their current school to really help them fix the problem instead of necessarily moving to another school. We're always approaching the parents and the families and the students with how can we help you solve whatever it is that's going on and help you find success for your student.
I appreciate your response so much, as you really nailed it when you said it's the relationships that make a difference. And you are emulating that. Your team is certainly pushing forward on that, working in the school choice office. And I really do appreciate all the work that you all are doing. It's hard to clear the field, if you will, and really clear the lens as families are just looking to navigate. And so I really do appreciate your time. You educated me, and I hope that you certainly educated all the many listeners. So again, everyone listening, do remember, if you want to learn more about school choice and the school assignment, controlled open enrollment, and all the various offerings that fall under that umbrella, certainly Millie is available, her team, and you can see all of that on the SarasotaCountySchools.net website as your first place to go. And then always you can reference the Education Foundation, the resources and supports that we have available at edfoundationsrq.org. And we always want people to get involved in our work. So thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Millie, for being a part of our podcast. And be sure to tune in to other episodes of Education Conversations. For now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.